Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see you today. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and get out your, got something you can take notes with this morning. It's been a handful of weeks since I've been up here. It is good to be back with you, sharing with you this morning. Thanks for the cheer, Sarah. Appreciate it. I'm glad you're glad I'm back too. Just quick shout out to Ron and Brooke and Sam over the last 3 weeks. Thank you so much. Wow. I mean, three incredible messages for us. Thank you so much. That was really rich for me and for every one of us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I am sharing this week, but then next week we have kind of a hero of the faith of mine, a father in the Lord for both Heather and I, a guy named Carl Goley is going to be here next Sunday morning, Sharon. He's been a part of Antioch Waco for a long, long time and has a position in the Antioch Movement Support Office right now. He's going to be up here for the discipleship school next weekend, and he's going to be sharing on Sunday. So he was our college pastor when we were in Waco, so it's pretty fun to have him come and preach at the church we started. So that'll be cool. And I can't wait for you to meet him next week. So that'll be Carl next week. It's going to be a good time. But this morning, here we are. So as we get kicked off here, question for you. Have you ever been confused by dating? Maybe somebody caused that confusion. Maybe you caused that confusion. Not knowing exactly what to do, not knowing exactly what's happening, not knowing exactly what is it that we're aiming for here in this situation. Have you ever seen men and women interacting just in life or on social media and had the thought, I feel like we could do better than that? Ever had that feeling? Do any of you hope to have a good dating relationship someday that leads to a good marriage someday? Do any of you have a friend or a child or a grandchild? Or do you plan on having children at some point? And for those people, you hope that they have good dating relationships that lead to good marriages someday. Well, there's something that has been on my heart for about the last 12 months or so, and I haven't known kind of when or how to go about sharing it with us as a church. So this is like one of those random Sundays where we're not doing a series, and I'm not even preaching next week, and so I just figured now's the time. We're just going to go for it. So if you were here at our church last year, January, February, we did a sermon series called Build the Home. Was anybody here for that? Okay. Wow, I got it. Some cheers. That's encouraging. It has kind of become a foundational series for us. It's a word that the Lord has given us as a church, and there's a lot there. That's why we did like 7 weeks on it. We talked about God's design for humanity, for men, for women, for marriage, for sex, for parenting, and for singleness. We talked about all that. And as a side note, I've said several times that I'm writing a, kind of trying to write that into a book. And I even said that it would be done by the end of last year, and I straight up lied. That didn't happen. So it's not done by the end of last year, I can tell you that much. It's not done now, and I do hope it someday gets done, but that's where that's at. But that was a foundational series for us to kind of talk about what does it mean to build the home according to God's design. And there's a lot of follow-ups from that. There's been lots of follow-up conversations and a lot of fruit. But one follow-up that I've wanted to do for quite some time is to share a framework based off of everything we talked about in Build the Home, build a framework for us as a community regarding dating. So if you missed Build the Home, you're going to need to go back and listen to that 7-part series for this one to make a little bit more sense, and I encourage you to do that. But I want to have a shared framework here for us because I've gotten a lot of questions since last year from people who, specifically from people who aren't married yet, and they're saying, like, okay, you talked about God's design for a man, for a woman, for marriage, for all these things. Like, I want that. What do I do right now? How do I do that? How do I be that man? How do I know when I'm ready to date somebody? How do I know who I should date so that I can get married? How do I go on a good date? Anybody ever been on a bad date? Yeah. So it's good to talk about that question. You know, what do we do about people who are basically dating, but they won't date? You know, I've gotten that question a couple of times, so the answer there is pick one, do or don't, but don't do the middle road thing. questions like, how do I parent my son or daughter who wants to date somebody or who I hope one day will want to date somebody? How do I parent them? How do I help my friend who is kind of in this situation? How do I help them? I believe that God's design for the home is the core of God's design for everything. Therefore, I believe that everything we talked about in Build the Home gives each of us the foundation that we need in order to have a dating culture in this church that honors people and honors God. So I did an evening kind of on this at Ascend Coffee last fall for sort of the like sub 30 and single crowd, and just kind of threw it by them to see how it would go. And I got a lot of encouragement. There's been a lot of fruit from that. And I kind of have been wondering, how do I share what I shared with them to everybody? Because it takes a community, because we're all in this together. We're all impacted by each other's lives and all of that. And the whole, one of the big ideas was that whatever you're going to do in life and in your faith, including dating, don't do it alone. We need to do this in community. So how do we have common understanding for what am I encouraging the person I'm discipling to? You know, what am I encouraging them in? Or what am I trying to raise my child into? Is it making sense how we kind of all need a common framework here? Because what we want is we want godly lives that then godly relationships can be built on, friendships and otherwise. We want then that to be able to be a place where godly dating relationships happen and godly marriages happen, where godly families happen, where godly homes happen, so that we can have a culture that fosters the things of the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you've noticed, but all of us are humans around here. No aliens, as far as I know. I've had my suspicions about some. But we're all humans. We're all doing relationships together. And it's kind of a huge part of our life. So we want to do those well. So if you aren't married and you want to be married, if you're here this morning and you just want to help people in your life date well, if you have children and want them to date well now or in the future, like I said, if you want to have children and you will want them to have not terrible dating relationships, like you did. Come on, can we just be honest? If you're sick of the ambiguous, foggy, ungodly, unprincipled, mucky, insecure swampland that is dating culture in America, this message is for you. So today I want to build off of Build the Home and lay out for us what is the dating culture at Antioch Indy. That's what we're going to talk about. My goal is that this will bring some clarity to what we are all aiming for so that individuals can make good decisions and so that we can all get the same basic principles in place in order to help each other towards godliness. Now, this is not some comprehensive exposition on all things dating. I have like 32 minutes left, okay? So what this is a laying of foundation, okay? So get something to take notes with, because this is going to be more lecture style than it is like something other than that. I don't know. So, and lots of you like taking pictures, I've noticed, of the screen when there's lots of notes. So just grab your camera, because the front end is going to be pretty note heavy. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, stand with me for the reading of the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery, can anybody say amen to that is a mystery, is it not? This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. That's like a mega verse. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your presence here this morning. We confess that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we want. We confess that there is a way, that there is truth, that there is life, and you are it. We are here to surrender to you, submit under you, And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us grace and help to lay down anything and everything that would distract us from accurately seeing your face and hearing your voice. We pray that you would build us up in the unity of the faith this morning. You would train us in your word. You would build us as your people together. Teach us more this morning and equip us. Give us power, God. We need power to love you and to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Marriage is a mystery. I had two weddings last weekend, back-to-back nights, Sunday and Monday. Never had that happen before, but it was awesome. Marriage is a mystery, the Bible says. And again, we all said amen to that. Us people are complicated. Men and women are complicated, and apparently they go together. That is very mysterious. And the Bible says that the relationship of marriage is an image. Remember, build the home, Genesis 1. God made us in his image, and then he gives us marriage to image Christ and the church. Okay. So that means that the goal of dating is not to date well. The goal of dating is to take steps towards a marriage that images Christ and the church. Don't date because you want to date. Date because you want to get married. Step one, and that would have saved some from some stuff, wouldn't it? Somebody, you just, how many of you had, we don't raise your hand, but you dated just cuz, right? And that went great, didn't it? No, it didn't. I don't need to tell you, you know. Don't date because you want to date. Date because you want to get married. Now, you don't know if you want to be married to that person yet. That's why you're dating. But you know that you do want to be married. So when it comes to thinking about dating, we need to think about dating as one little piece of building the home. That's what you're thinking about for yourself and encouraging each other towards is how does this build the home? Not just how does this dating relationship go well? It means if you want to build the home, don't look for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Look for a husband or for a wife. If you want to get married, don't try to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You want to learn how to be a husband, learn how to be a wife. You're not looking, girls, for a guy who can be a good boyfriend. You are looking for a man who can be a good husband and father. Guys, you aren't looking for a girl who can be a good girlfriend. You are trying to look for a woman who can be a good wife and a good mother. You aren't trying to be. We are not a people who are trying to be good boyfriend or good girlfriend. What you want to be is the man or the woman that becomes the good husband or wife and mother and father that God has called us to. What we all need to understand, what I'm saying for us is if you want a boyfriend, that's what you'll get. If you want a girlfriend, that's what you'll get. If you just want a date, this message ain't for you. And this culture we're talking about, you ain't gonna like. But if you want to get married, we can all get somewhere. We need to start with focusing on the right end goal, and that's going to help everybody get where God wants us to go. So I'm going to frame the rest of this message, lecture, talk, time, praise the Lord, around sort of three sections. So take a lot of notes, and after the first round, you'll understand why you took so many notes during the first round. And then hopefully things will make sense. So the three sections we're going to talk about is how do I be that man or woman? How do I know when I'm ready to date? Because I want to be that guy. I want to be that man who's a good man, who's a good husband, who's a good father. How do I be that man? I want to be that woman of God. I want to be that woman who can be a good wife and a good mother. How do I be that person? That's section number one. Number two is how do I find that man, that woman? Okay, so step one, I need to be that guy. Now, how do I find that girl? And the other way around. Lastly, how do I date that guy? How do I date that girl? So in section number one, how do I be that man? How do I be that woman that we talked about during Build the Home? How do I be that person that becomes a good spouse and a good parent? The things that you need to be thinking about and we need to be encouraging each other to think about is, like, again, you don't just date somebody because you think that person's cute or because you want to or because you want to hang out. If you want this to go well and head towards the direction God wants it to go, you need to be headed in that direction. Amen? Anybody ever gotten into a dating relationship a little prematurely as far as your character was concerned? That went great, didn't it? Oh, dang it. Why did I do that? All right. This isn't therapy time for me. No. Just kidding. Just playing. So you need to be thinking about a few different things. We need to be thinking about a few things. And you'll see that this applies to all of us first. That's the point, is that before this has anything to do with anybody else, this has everything to do with you and God, me and God. So how do you be that man or woman of God? Number one, you got to think about your vision in your life. What are you living for? Your values. What are your important habits for living that vision? Three, virtues. You need vision, you need values, you need virtues, you need behavior that is oriented around that vision. And number four, the way we talk about it is culture. How do others experience you as you live for that vision? Okay, so this is going to help you think about just being a man or woman of God. So you need to have vision, number one. You need a personal vision. What is the vision that you are living for? Marriage is a relationship that images Christ in the church. If you want that, you need to be living a life that is about Christ and his church. So as a Christian, you need a kingdom vision. If you need one for yourself that's really catchy and easy to talk about and something you might see painted in white letters every time you come to church on Sunday, you can take ours. A great personal vision is to preach the gospel of the kingdom and make others great. That's a good one right there. So we need to have a vision for the kingdom of God. We say it, preach the gospel of the kingdom and make others great. Are you living for the kingdom of God? Are you living a life that proclaims the good news of the rule and the reign of Jesus? And are you doing it with a heart to serve and to lift others up into what God has called them to do? Doesn't that sound like a man you want to be? Doesn't that sound like the woman you want to be? The men you want to be around? The women you want to be around? As a Christian, you need that Christian vision, that kingdom vision for your life. Then specifically as a man, you need God's vision for you as a man. Before this has anything to do with your personality or your preferences, this is true for you if you are a man. You need to live for the vision to be a man, which is to image God to image God by bringing godly order to creation for the spreading of the kingdom of God. That is, go back to the Build the Home series. Like I said, we're going to skip over this, but there's messages about each one of these things. You are anointed and created by God with a spiritual gift to bring order to God's creation for the glory of God. Orient your life around that. As a woman, image God by nurturing the life of God for the glory of God. As God is moving and bringing life to the earth, partner with God. Cultivate that life. Multiply that life. You have a spiritual anointing like no other creation on the planet to nurture the good things that God is doing and see them grow. So I just skipped over like four sermons, so you're going to want to go back to that, but that's just a little window here. See, too many people, when we talk about singleness or dating, even over the last year, too many people have talked to me just about the singleness message, which was like number 7 in the series. And if you want more on this, my advice to you would be to skip that sermon. Don't worry about it. The first 5 were way more important than that one. And I would encourage you in that. Okay, so number one, you need to have, how's your vision? Do you have a kingdom vision? And as a man or a woman of God, do you know who you are and the foundation of what it is that you're created to do in the kingdom of God? Number two, values. What are your habits for living out that vision. We just did a whole series on that around here to start the year called Kingdom Fruit. So I'm going to skip over these quickly, but I would encourage you that if you don't have your way of saying how you have kingdom values in your life so that you can live for kingdom vision, don't work too hard. Just jump on ours. They're pretty catchy, you know, and it's pretty easy. And again, I just did a bunch of weeks on it. So number one, personal devotion. You have to have a habit of personal devotion to Jesus. Number two, making disciples. Three, life group, what we call life group. Four, corporate gatherings. Five, life on mission. You need to live a lifestyle of these things, not because you want to get married, but because you're a Christian. And this is what Christians do. This is the values that God's given us to live lives that are fruitful in the kingdom of God. Again, you should want more than I'm giving you on that. That's why we did a whole series to start the year on them. So you got vision. You need a kingdom vision. You need kingdom values that are your habits that are going to actually help you live out that vision for the glory of God. Number three, we're talking about our virtues. Virtues. This is your behavior that helps you live and manifest God's fruit in your life for the vision of the kingdom of God. Again, this is all in the series, so we're going to go over these briefly. What we're talking about, though, the way Augustine said this was that virtue is rightly ordered loves. You are built to burn with the fire of love, not for another person, primarily just a spouse. You are built to burn with the love of God and the love for other people. So virtue is how we rightly order the fire that God has put inside of you to orient around him and his people. Christianity is not a life of suppression. That's garbage. Just have as lame a life as possible that's cold, and that will glorify God. No, he built you to burn. That's why God, who is love, wants to put himself inside of you so that you can love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And then he gives us this relationship called marriage, and he's like, let's just... Now, just here's your petri dish for imaging Christ in the church. It's like, wow, okay. Come on. All right. Anyways, virtues. So this is the behavior that we're aiming for. We've got seven of them from the historic church. Number one is faith. Belief that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Hope. Hope. Live a life of hope, which is confidence in God. A life of love, loving God and loving your neighbor. Prudence, which is thinking what is right. Anybody need to think what's right? We need to think what is right. Justice, doing what is right. Temperance, acting with right measure. And fortitude, standing and sacrificing for what is right. Anybody else want to behave like that? That's what God wants for us. That's how we be those men of God, those women of God, men and women of faith, hope, love, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. And this contrasts with the seven deadly sins that, oh, look at that, we also just talked about deeply in a recent series during the holiness series. So if you want to know the contrast of that and how that works out, go back to the holy series we did over this past Lent season. The last thing that we're going to talk about here is culture. What is the experience of you for the people in the world around you? The way we talk about this around our church is that we want to be people who smell like faith. Honor is our sound. We taste like grace, we see hope, and our touch brings joy. Could go into all of these, but again, this is what we're going for as a community, to say, hey, when people interact with us individually or collectively, this is what we want that experience to be, because we are the people of God, and that's kind of what it should be like when you rub up against the people of God. That's true for us collectively, and therefore it can be true for us individually. Again, you can define this however you want, but hopefully these can be helpful handrails that have some traction on them that you can grab onto in your life. All of this, vision, values, virtue, and culture, this is the person you are aiming to be as a Christian generally, and as a Christian specifically who wants a marriage that images Christ and the church. This is the person you want your child to be. Anybody want your child manifest some temperance every once in a while? I mean, come on. This is the person you're encouraging your friend to be. This is the person we are all challenging one another to become. We want to be these people. So next, how do I find that man, that woman? How do I find that man or woman? Okay, I'm that guy. I'm working on that. I'm doing it in community. And the people around me are telling me, just like all of us, of course, you got room to grow. But like, yeah, that's you. That's awesome. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. That's what it means. Hopefully that brings some definition to the ambiguous, like, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. So how do we find that person? In other words, who should I be attracted to? If you're wondering, who should I be attracted to? Or your kids, you're raising your kids one day and you're trying to help them understand, like, oh no, please not that person. Or like, oh please God, that person, you know? Okay, so who are you looking for? Well, does he or she live out all of what we just talked about? You're trying to be that person, and that's the person also that you are looking for. As you are thinking about somebody to date, as you're helping your kids or your friends think about, is this somebody worth considering dating as some step towards potential marriage? The first and most important thing is, does that person have a kingdom vision? What is that person alive for and pointing his or her life at? What are his or her values? What are the habits in his or her life that show the vision that he or she is actually living for? Is this a virtuous person? Or do you and the people in that person's life generally observe that person more under the control of the seven deadly vices? What's it like when you experience this person? What's it like when this person's friends experience them? When this person rubs up against other people, rubs up against situations, do they bring faith into the room? Do they help others see hope? Do they taste like grace? Or do they taste like rotten eggs when they talk about other people behind their back? You know what I'm talking about. We're just trying to put language to the stuff that we all like feel and see. And it's like, I don't know about you. Now you can define, like, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's like you're fun and like you're cute and stuff. But like, I don't see any prudence in your life. You don't think right about things. And if I get dragged into that, you see what I'm saying? So the vision, the values, the virtues, the culture are how you be attractive, and it's how you know who is attractive. Somebody being attracted to you doesn't start with your definition of attractive, which is so helpful. Like, God's given us this. It's like, hey, let me help you narrow it down and bring the reins in on your eyes and your emotions and your hormones and your moods. And I mean, come on, people. Isn't that amazing? There's like something firm to stand on. What a gift. Okay, so one common question I get in kind of a follow-up on this type of stuff is, okay, that's all great and that makes sense. And I've even just heard some of you look at your neighbor and say, that's so good. Like, so helpful. It's so true. Just encourage me. Raise your hand if you've had that thought yet today. Yeah, it's really good. Okay, we have about half of you. That's not bad, actually. Like, okay, that's good, that's helpful, but also, like, How much does physical attraction count? Or how much does it factor in? Because, like, she's so cute. Like, how much does that override? Or, like, no, he's amazing, but, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know if he's that cute. How much does that matter? I mean, come on. Like, can we just be honest? It's like, all right, well, okay, so how much does that matter? Okay, it matters. It definitely matters some. I don't have the formula for you. But here's what I do have to say, is that physical attraction does matter. But just give it a second, because, you know, what we've all experienced before, we know this is true, is that physical attraction is more than just physical, and it's not compartmentalized from all the other aspects of a person. We've all talked to the hot person, and 5 minutes later, it's like, you're not that hot. And you talk to the person you didn't find that cute, saw some character, and was like, huh. Yes. So physical attraction is connected to the attraction of the whole person. So don't get buried in just the physical question, because it's not separate from everything else. Just look at it as a whole person. Now, when it's just you, the whole physical attraction thing, well, maybe this is true for girls, it's true for guys, it's like sort of an overriding initial factor. So get some other eyes in your life. Okay. Okay, so physical attraction is something, but it's not everything, and it's not the main thing. Okay, so you're that guy, that girl, you're attractive. Way to go. You now have found some guy or girl that is also attractive, and you're attracted to that person. So how do I date? How do I date that person? So we're just going to get, again, this isn't comprehensive, so don't get mad when I don't say the one thing that you want me to say. Just help me with some basic principles here, and this is going to get us off to a good start. So we'll just talk to the guys for a second. Number one, I've said it multiple times already, but do not act alone. There's so many awesome men of God around here. If you step into some big situation in your life, I mean, this or your job or whatever, just don't be stupid and don't get men of God's opinion on what you're doing with your life. I expected more of like an amen on that one. I'm just saying, some guys, we need it straight. Men, don't be dumb. There's so many awesome people. Just get their input and trust them. Like what I talk about, it's like, all right, just live your life. And this applies to this, but not just this. But like, okay, if life is a fight, we've talked about in Build the Home, how living for the kingdom of God, it's like swimming upstream. And if it doesn't feel like you're getting punched in the face, you're probably not doing it. Right? Okay, so if I'm going to go into a boxing ring and fight somebody, I want some dudes in my corner. Because either they're going to tell me, bro, don't. I'm like, no, I got this. And like, you don't got this. I want to be humble enough, aka not too stupid, to be like, all right, I trust you guys. And maybe I just saved a butt whooping. Or I'm about to go in there and I'm like, I want to do this. Or I'm like, I don't want to do this. And they're like, bro, you can do this. You got this. And I was like, all right, well, hey, come what may, but I got my guys with me. You want to live that life, man. Don't be alone. Don't be alone. Okay. So do things in community. What do I mean by doing it in community? Find the person who doesn't know you or her so they can give you a sign off and you say, I did it in community. No. Okay. You need peers and mentors. Write that down with the and in the middle. Peers and mentors. Not one or the other. It's too easy to create some distance when it's only peers. It's too easy to have some shadows. It's too easy to have some shadows if it's just the mentors and they're not really hanging out with you. Peers and mentors. Who are godly men in your life who will help you honestly answer these two questions? Am I a man of God? Is she a woman of God? Who are the men, peers and mentors in your life who can help you answer that question? If you don't have them, ask Sam and he will connect you to some. Thank you, Sam. Okay, so peers and mentors, that's all of us, right?
Yeah.
We are all peers and or mentors to a whole bunch of people in this room and in your life group. Amen?
Yeah.
So we all need this. Okay, peers and mentors, you now have the criteria clearly spelled out for you so that you can answer that question well when somebody asks it to you. For the sake of being a good friend to that guy and being a caring man for the girl that he wants to ask out, answer with honesty and integrity.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because he's your buddy doesn't mean you say, yeah, dude, totally, you're a man of God. You're a total mess, but like, you got a good heart. No, be a better friend than that and care for a homegirl better than that. Be honest, which means if he's a man of God, be like, heck yeah, dude. Here's where I've seen you grow in your personal devotion. Here's the discipleship fruit I see in your life. Here's how our life group has benefited from you being in it. Here's where I've seen you be prudent about that difficult situation that you were navigating. And here's where I've seen you manifest fortitude in a difficult thing for your life where you stood for the right thing as a man of God. Come on. So encourage what is right and be honest about what needs to be critiqued. We owe it in love to God and to each other. All right. So now you're that guy, you found that girl, your guy said you're that guy and she's that girl. Go for it, bro. Okay. So men, I want you to know, and women, you need to hear this too. Around here, when it comes to dating, the primary responsibility of the man is clarity, not performance. It's not the only responsibility. Primary, first and foremost, clarity, not performance. Everybody say it with me. Clarity, not performance. Okay. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be richer than you are. You don't need to be smoother than you are. You don't need all that stuff. You need to be good. That's what we're after. That's everything I talked about. How do I be a good man? You need to be a good man, and you need to be clear. If you're going to ask her out, get with your peers and your mentors. If you get the go-ahead from them, then ask her out. If you're not going to ask her out, leave her alone. Stop messing with her. Stop singling her out. And just having long talks where it's like, we just get each other. No. 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 No, we don't do that. What I'm trying to say is that, men, you should not make a girl wonder, what are we? Now, girls, have self-control. You need to manage that question as well. And, gentlemen, if you are friends, don't treat her like something more than that. Tell your sons, if you want to date her, man up and ask her out. If you're not going to man up, then stop it. Somebody say amen for me on that one. Now, there are legitimate stages of relationships, of course. There's friends, and then there's dating, and then maybe after dating or during, whatever. There's girlfriend, boyfriend. Is that the same? I don't know. You know, and then you get engaged, which that should be pretty clear, you know, when you enter into that. And then marriage ought to be pretty obvious, but you get what I'm saying. So there are stages, and I'm not like, come on, you know, we're laying down some principles here. So of course there are stages, and there's some ebb and flow here, but be clear. That's why you're clear. If you're just taking her out, but you're not girlfriend, boyfriend yet, just say it. I'd rather have it said than have it be wondered for like 3 or 4 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Okay, also, just to be clear, talking is not a stage. I'm dead serious. I told this crew this like back in October. If you want Jordan Wood to call you,
yeah, right.
Talk to a girl. Just be talking. Yeah. And when he's done with you. No. No, but seriously, talking is not a stage. We don't do that in around here. At Antioch Indy, we don't do talking. We don't do talking, okay? We don't do, we don't just do like, oh, we're like, oh, we're just, bleh. We're just texting. Situationships don't exist at Antioch Indy. I've heard that word before. I don't know if it's real, if that's what the kids are saying these days, but we don't do it here. So yeah, whatever other unclear, irresponsible, uncommitted garbage that people are doing out there, we don't do those in here. We are clear. We are men of God who are good men, and they bring clarity to relationships because you are a man. That's what you do. So for everyone's sake, just do that. Get men in your corner. Be man enough to get clear about what you want to have happen with her, and then be man enough to take her answer either way. And then we move on. All right. Now, again, for everybody's sake, I want to bring some clarity to what a date is around here. I don't know what other people do to call dates, but this is what a date is. Okay? A date is when you pursue a girl, you single her out, because you've worked on being that man, and you and others in your life have said you're that guy and she's that girl, and so you pursue her, you single her out, and you tell her that you want to spend time with her to get to know her more, and you want to take her out on a date. You use the word. Tell her it's a date. And what that means is you organize and pay for the time that you spend together on that date. It's not that complicated. You single her out. You be clear about what's happening. You organize it. You pay for it. Then it's over. And that was a good date. Good job. So, be clean. Pick her up. Pay for it. I'm just saying. If nobody else tells you, who's going to be clean, pick her up, pay for it, and tell her what's going on. This is where you forget about being smooth and you just be clear. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks about this in regard of it being smooth or not, but when I took Heather, I've told this before, but when I took Heather on our first date, I pick her up. We get to the car. I haven't even shut the door yet. And I'm like, hey, the reason we're doing this is because I like you and I want you to be my girlfriend, but we're going to talk about that later. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Now we know. That is way smoother and way cooler and way more respectable than everybody in your life, including you and her, being confused about what is this? No, 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 no. Okay, now, when the date is over, this is how you end a date. Communicate what she can expect to happen next. I'm not even going to tell you what that has to be. Just whatever she should expect, you should tell her. Give her something to expect. If you're not going to take her out again, just tell her. If you had a good time and you want to call her the next day, tell her that you're going to call her the next day. Hey, I'd like to call you tomorrow or something. Just one little next step. If you want to take her out again and you know that, you can tell her, I had a really good time and I'd like to take you out again. But you can't answer me right now. I'll call you tomorrow. But seriously, whatever it is, just be clear. Be clear. Be clear at the end. You are a man. God has created you to order things. So confusion is not what we're after. Don't leave her totally confused, because that's lame and sad and no fun and not respectable. Okay, ladies. Now, within all of this context that I'm spelling out and I've talked about in all of this, build the home and all these sort of things, you should probably say yes to most first dates that you get asked on by men at this church. Because those are good men. If they got through all that, you should probably give them a shot. You should probably give them a shot. If you're not sure, you don't really know them that well or whatever, before saying yes or no to the date, just ask, who else have you talked to about this? And if he responds by mentioning peers and mentors that you know as men of God and that you respect, then I suggest you go on a date. It's just a date, right? You're not getting married today. You're not saying yes to that. But if there's men of God that you really respect who have looked at this guy and said, yeah, you could ask her out. Maybe he's worth a shot. Again, you don't have to say yes. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there for you. Now, if you do go on a date, like I said, his job is not to perform for you. It is to pursue you and initiate with you. And your job is to respond to that. So that is nurturing the godly things that you see in him and the godly things that you see him doing. So what I mean is things like, don't go on a date or be in a relationship, like don't be entitled. He didn't owe you this date. He doesn't owe you all this time. When he's kind, when he picks you up, when he pays for something, when he organizes something, when he compliments you, whatever, when he does something good, say thank you. Say, that was nice. Say, I appreciate that. Nurture the good things that he's doing. You are anointed by God to do that. So don't be entitled. Don't be difficult. Don't be difficult. He is a man of God who has shown interest in you and taken this step to pursue you and put it all out there. Respond with engagement and questions and some effort as well. It's not his job to perform on this date and carry the conversation the whole time. It's a relationship, right? Yeah. See, you can be kind and you can be respectful even if you don't like him. Yeah. His job is to be clear with you, but it isn't to read your mind. If you have questions about what's going on or what we are doing, why are you spending so much time with me? Why do you text me so much? What's going to happen after this date? If you have a question pop into your head, you are 100% allowed to just ask, because he ought to be man enough to have an answer for you. And if he doesn't, that just showed you a lot. You see what I'm saying? You're not helpless and just like, oh, I'm just like a flower floating away and we'll see what happens. No. You have principles. You have a vision you're living for. You have an anointing in God. You have spiritual gift and power to bring the life of God to the world around you. Amen? Come on. So, yeah. Be a woman. He ought to have an answer for you. That doesn't mean he reads your mind and gives you the answer before you ask the question. He is but a man. Okay, so there's some thoughts there. If you want to say no to a first date or to a second date, or it's time to end a relationship, or he's saying the next step is we're going to take a step forward, and you're saying, I don't think we're taking a step forward. I'm not going with you on that step forward. If that's where you're at, which is totally fine. You're allowed to be there. That's great. You are still a woman of God, and he is still a man of God. Nurture the life of God. A great phrase. Oh, I didn't even realize this. Carl Gulley gave this to us in college. He said, wow, I'm honored, but no thank you. That's great. Well, what do you mean, no thank you? Like, you don't want to go out anymore? No, I don't. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate how you've been kind and clean. No, I appreciate it, and I'm really honored that you wanted to spend time with me, that you want to spend more time with me, but no thank you. So there, now you know it, and guys, now you've heard it, and now you know what it means. Like, what do you mean, no thank you? She's done, okay? All right, we're going over, and that's okay, because this is just about done. Little supplemental questions that I get. How long should you date? So we're trying to have marriages that image Christ in the church. So how long should dating relationships be? Ever wondered that question? Had anybody ask you that question? Seen a TikTok answer that question for you? Okay, how long should you date? You should date until you know if you want to marry the person or not. That's how long. But how do you know that? Okay, men, do you want to give your life to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her? Is she the one you want to do that for? You have a yes or no answer to that every day of the week. And it's okay if it's no, not yet. That's fine. That's fine. That's not some pressure question. That's just a clarity question. Women, do you want to submit to him as unto the Lord? Kind of makes it obvious. And here's a helpful thing here too. So men, do you want to do that for her? Women, do you want to do that for him? And do you increasingly want to be physically closer to that person? Like, ooh, I keep wanting to physically be closer to you and I want to submit to you as unto the Lord. That's a pretty good sign. You probably might want to marry that guy. If you're checking all of these boxes, and you have godly peers and mentors in your life, and they are with you on this relationship, and they're like, yes, he is a guy you should want to submit to as unto the Lord. That's a great call. Yes, she is a woman worth you giving your life to love her as Christ loved the church. I totally see where you're coming from on this one, bro. Good call. You've got those things happening in your life. I'm not going to say it's time to get married. All I'm saying is that's a lot of green lights, guys. That's a lot of green lights. Praise the Lord. Don't stop at green lights. That's just what we, you know, just don't stop at green lights, Lindsay. Basic principle in life. Okay. Now, the next question after that is, okay, hey, great answer, but seriously, how long? That's a great pastor answer, but how long does it take? I don't know how long you should date, but to be really frank, since we're just being honest, not that long. Not that long. Dating really shouldn't take that long. Like, this is going to get me in trouble, but I'm already down this road this far. It ain't years. Yeah. It's not years. It's like probably longer than today. But like not years. And like closer to today than years. Because if you really, since we're all for clarity around here, these questions are really going to make your answer obvious. Do I want to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? That's a high bar. Yes. Do I want to submit to him as unto the Lord? Yeah. And do I want my body closer to his or her body? Those are good things. Now, that doesn't take you that long to answer that question. Especially with all these other voices and eyes that you have in your life. But if you put sex on the table, it screws the whole clarity thing up. I know I get the that's rights to that, but what won't get all the that's rights is I'm just this guy who has this conviction that Christians shouldn't kiss people they're not married to. If you take that off the table, you're going to get an answer real fast. I'm not saying I'm going to come at you if I find out you kiss somebody. All I'm saying is, in basic principle, it makes sense to me that unmarried Christians don't kiss each other.
Here we go.
All right, I'm done. The only two rounds of applause I've gotten after a sermon are this one and the one on sex last year. Tells me a lot about you people. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we're into this stuff. All right, I'm going to pray and we're going to go home and have a healthier dating culture around here. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word and your kingdom. Thank you that you are real. Your kingdom is real. We really can live in it. And it really is better than the kingdom of darkness and the world and sin, that righteousness is an option, holiness is an option, wholeness is an option. Oh, we need your grace and your power, Holy Spirit, to love you with our whole hearts and souls and minds and strength, Lord. We need grace from God to love each other. Lord, we want to partner with you in what you're doing. We pray your healing in every way that we all need it and your salvation, Lord, in our lives. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, start to finish, the whole thing, and on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us to build one another up in your glorious righteousness and in the faith. Unify us together as we follow you as one. In Jesus' name, amen.